Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a special weekend edition of That's Entertainment. I'm your host, Tammy Jones Gibb, broadcasting live from the NYC. For the next hour, I'm going to give you the latest entertainment news on Sean Diddy Combs, Cardi B, Gail King, Steve Buscemi, Dabney Coleman, and a whole lot more. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back after these messages.
For those fortunate enough to help the person who has always been their hero, find the care guides you need to help at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Weekend edition of That's Entertainment. I'm your host, Tammy Jones Gibbs, where I try to bring you the latest in entertainment news, celebrity news, and pop culture. If you like the show and you want to know what's going on in the world of entertainment, make sure you click on the follow-up button on top of the show page. That way you get a reminder when I broadcast live. Also, if you want to make a comment about any of today's stories, give me a call. Tell me what you think. The call-in number is 347-637-2656 and press the number 1. That's 347-637-2656 and press the number 1. Also, like us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/thatsentertainment.radio. Follow us on X at That's Entertain 1. That's THATS Entertain and the number 1. You can also follow me on X at Stiletto14. That's Stiletto like the shoe, S-T-I-L-E-T-T-O, and the number 14. And you can also follow me on the gram at T Jones Gibbs. That's T-J-O-N-E-S-G-I-B-B-S. Right now, the current temperature in the NY is a cloudy 59 degrees. Before I get started with the show today, I want to give a shout-out to all my listeners out there. Thank you for hanging out with me and joining me and listening to here on Blog Talk Radio. So how has everyone been? As you can hear, the music in the background is a classic song from the late David Sanborn, the Chicago song. Unfortunately, we lost Mr. Sanborn last Sunday, and we're going to be talking about him and remembering him. Also this week, we're going to be talking about Sean Diddy Combs. Apparently, what is hidden in the dark will come to light with the case with him, as a surveillance video came out that show him physically assaulting his ex-girlfriend, Kathy, in a 2016 surveillance video that was also obtained by CNN. Also this week, we're going to be talking about Cardi B. It looks like we're not going to get a new album from her after all. Also this week, we're going to talk about Gail King. She has officially added swimsuit model to her resume. Also, the man that allegedly punched Steve Buscemi in the face last week has now been arrested and charged. Also, we're going to be talking about actor Dabney Coleman, who was best known for his role in 9 to 5. He has passed away at the age of 92. And, of course, the legendary jazz great David Sanborn, who passed away last Sunday at the age of 78. So how is everybody doing? You're listening to a special weekend edition of That's Entertainment. I wasn't able to do a show officially on Thursday. Your girl is always busy. But I said, let me do a show because next week I'm going to be going out of town, so there won't be a show next week. So I had to do this show this weekend. Sean Diddy Combs, what can I say? This alleged video showing him physically assaulting his ex-girlfriend Cassie is not only horrific, but it's showing Diddy's true character about himself and how everybody's in an uproar about this behavior after he claimed he would never do that, do those horrible things, after he claimed that after he settled everything with Cassie, and how his attorneys had came out and said because he settled doesn't mean he had did the, you know, that he's proving himself guilty. Well, it goes to show you that videos do not lie. So we're going to be talking about this horrific video that just came out that was obtained by CNN. Also, again, we're going to be talking about Cardi B. She was supposed to be coming out with an album. It looks like it's not going to happen because of what's been talked about on social media. Fans are coming to people are, you know, posting things to her about her music, and she fell into the rabbit hole. She's given in to these so-called people, these trolls online. So let's get started. Without further ado, Sean Diddy Combs is seen allegedly physically assaulting his ex-girlfriend, Cassie Ventura, in a 2016 surveillance video obtained by CNN. The footage was dated March 5, 2016, and it shows what appeared to be Combs holding a towel around his waist, running after a woman who appears to be Ventura after she is seen exiting a hotel room and moving toward a bank of elevators. He is then seen grabbing her by the back of the neck and throwing her to the floor. He then turns to kick her as the video is showing this. He retrieves a purse and a suitcase from the floor before he turns to kick her again, though she is not moving. She is then seen being dragged by him by the sweatshirt she is wearing for a moment. Then he walks off. She gathers some items from the floor, but he returns and is seen shoving her. There's another video where he's sitting in a chair, pulling a unidentified object from a table and throwing it towards her. And then he walks away. Ventura attorney Douglas H. Wigdor said in a statement that said, quote, "The gut-wrenching video has only further confirmed the disturbing and predatory behavior of Mr. Combs. Words cannot express the courage and fortitude that Ms. Ventura has shown in coming forward to bring this to light." Unquote. Now, after the video surfaced on Friday, Ventura's husband, Alex Fine, posted a message to his verified Instagram account that condemned domestic violence and expressed support for survivors. And this is what Cassie's husband said. He said, quote, "Men who hit women aren't men." This is what he shared in the note that he said in the caption he had written. He said, "A while back, but the words ring true not just today, but every day. Men who enable it and protect those people aren't men. As men, violence against women shouldn't be inevitable. Check your brothers, your friends, and your family. Our daughters, sisters, mothers, and wives should feel protected and loved. Hold the women in your life with the utmost respect. Men who hurt women hate women. To all the survivors, find the men and women who help and love. To all the survivors, your stories are real and people believe you. To all the survivors, you're not alone, and there are men and women who care only for your well-being and safety. We want you to succeed and flourish. And to all the women and children, I'm sorry you live in a world where you're not protected and you don't feel equal. I want to raise my daughters in a world where they are safe and loved." And he said after he called out the abusers, you know, in a civil lawsuit that was filed in New York in November, Cassie accused
Sean Diddy Combs of repeatedly raping and physically abusing her for nearly a decade as they had an on-again, off-again romantic relationship. And in the suit, which also named his label Bad Boy Records and Sony Music, Ventura says she was trapped by Mr. Combs in a cycle of abuse, violence, and sex trafficking. The filing recalls several instances where she claimed Combs punched, beat, kicked, and stomped her. Ventura complaints mirror the footage and stated that Combs paid the hotel $50,000 to obtain the video from the incident. After this event, Ventura says she took a cab to her apartment. The incident at the Intercontinental is one of many allegations that Ventura made against Combs in her suit, including accusations of rape and abuse. And while Ventura's suit was settled the day after it was filed, it triggered a series of lawsuits against Combs in the coming months. Within a month of her suit, he was hit with three lawsuits alleging sexual assault, and in February, former associate Rodney Little Rod Jones filed a suit claiming unwanted sexual advances and coercions to hire sex workers and engage in relations with them. In March, Combs' home in Miami and Los Angeles were raided by Homeland Security, and while it was unclear what agents were trying to find, three women and a man were interviewed by federal officials per an unnamed source at NBC News about allegations of sex trafficking, sexual assault, and the solicitation and distribution of illegal narcotics and firearms. It's unclear if Combs was the subject of the investigation. And months prior to that, amid the lawsuit, he resigned as chairman of the hip-hop TV network Revolt. And now there's a viral video appear to be just the beginning as more footage related to the incident is coming to light, sparking serious allegations against the music icon. In the most recent clip that has resurfaced on social media, Diddy can be seen antagonizing someone lying on the floor in a huddle and hiding under a blanket whom many speculate to be Cassie. Viewers have expressed significant concern over Cassie's evident fear and attempt to hide from both Diddy and the camera. Some commentators even suggested that dark spots that were visible on the floor in the video might be blood, adding to the alarming nature of the video, of the footage. And the circulation of these videos has sparked a critical conversation on social media about the alleged mistreatment and abusive behavior, pointing to a larger issue within the entertainment industry. And as the footage continued to make the rounds, the outcry for accountability and justice for Cassie grow louder while Diddy remains silent on the matter. For the young audience tuned into this escalating situation, it serves as a reminder to remain vigilant and support for survivors of abuse, ensuring voices like Cassie are heard and validated. Also, the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office shared a statement following the release of the video of Sean Diddy Combs allegedly attacking his ex-girlfriend Cassie at an L.A. hotel in 2016. The DA office said in a statement that was released on Friday, said, quote, "We are aware of the video that has been circulating online allegedly depicting Sean Combs assaulting a young woman in Los Angeles. We find the images extremely disturbing and difficult to watch. If the conduct the pic occurred in 2016, unfortunately, we would be unable to charge as the conduct would have occurred beyond the timeline where a crime of assault can be prosecuted." The statement continued by noting that no one had yet presented a case related to the attack. Still, the office encouraged anyone who has been a victim or witness to a crime to report it to law enforcement or reach out for support from the Bureau of Victim Services. Now, Revolt, which was founded by Combs, shared a statement in the Instagram carousel following the release of the video, writing that it was deeply saddened by the clips circulating of its former chairman who resigned. And they also said this, quote, even with his recent separation from Revolt, it is still our duty to address this matter and recognize the direct impact it has on our staff, our audience, and the culture we represent. Revolt stands in solidarity with all who has been a victim of abuse and remain committed to upholding the values and integrity of our community expects from us. We stand against any form of domestic abuse and will always be a fearless advocate for truth and accountability, unquote. And the statement also concluded with a slide encouraging Revolt followers to reach out to the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233 if they are experiencing domestic violence or know someone who is. And it looks like we may not get a new Cardi B album this year. After all, for years, fans have anxiously waited for the UP rapper to follow up her Grammy-winning 2018 debut, Invasion of Privacy, with another album. She dropped a string of chart-topping singles and explosive collaborations since then, but has only offered small updates on her next full-length project as of late. And despite assuring fans in March that she was dropping her album this year and telling everybody to stay tuned for the announcement, it seems like Cardi has since walked back that statement. On Tuesday, March 14, a fan named Ty on X joked about Cardi's post promises that she's dropping a new album in 2024 and mockingly writing, saying, quote, I'm so excited to put out new music. I can't wait to drop my album. Wait until I drop this song. Album coming soon. That seemed to get Cardi's attention as another fan responded to the post saying, you know, that the two, well, basically the two continued to argue back and forth until another fan on X wrote of Cardi saying that it's time for her to pull back from social media platforms. Her engagement with fans is unappreciated, and transparency backfired because of her fans' weirdo entitlement. Cardi doesn't have to interact with them. She chooses to and is never good enough for them, unquote. She also responded to that fan saying, agreeing with them and telling them that, you know, you're right. You know, I tell myself this all the time. I hate that I fall back and start interacting with these so-called trolls, and it bites me in the ass. She went on to share a new update about her sophomore project, informing fans that anyone, anyway, she said that there's no album this year, and she said that she don't care and that she's relaxing this year. She's dropping these features that she's already committed to, and she's traveling and enjoying her summer. The new statement comes just months after, actually 2 months, after she offered a post on her Instagram story about having 100 unreleased songs she's been working on for her second album. In her September 2023 cover story for Vogue Mexico and Latin America, the Diamond Certified artist discussed rollout plans for her long-awaited follow-up album, saying that, quote, I'm not going to release any more collaborations. I'm going to release my next solo single. And on September 7, 2023, just a few weeks after the story was published, Cardi dropped her second collaboration with Megan Thee Stallion called Bongos. And that same month, the two performed it for the first time live at the 2023 MTV Video Music Awards. As promised, Cardi released her next song, a solo single titled Like What, Freestyle, at the top of March, and then she followed with her second single of the year, Enough, Miami, which dropped on March 15 alongside a sleek music video directed by Patience Harding. And most recently, she attended the 2024 Met Gala on May 6th and celebrated several of her hit songs, surpassing 1 billion Spotify streams on the platform's latest episode of Billions Club, the series. And Gayle King, she has officially added swimsuit model to her resume. On Tuesday, the CBS Morning host was surprised to learn that she appeared as one of the four solo cover girls for the 60th anniversary of Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. After presenting models Kate Upton and Hunter McGrady and their covers, her co-host, Nate Brolson, made the shocking reveal to Gayle. she was left, Gayle King was left speechless. You know, she's only 69 years young, and she got a closer look at the cover, in which she appeared in a green and pink printed swimsuit by Evora with a matching cover-up. The award-winning journalist emotionally shared what the moment meant to her, and this is what she said. She said, quote, "It has sunk in, but it's still mind-blowing to me, honestly. I used to look at it all the time myself. Never in a gazillion years did I think I would be that person," unquote. She also said that she wants to show her ex-husband, Bill Bumpus, what he's missing. She spoke with E.T. at the launch party for the magazine annual swimsuit issue on Thursday at the Hard Rock Cafe right here in New York City, Times Square. The mother of two said that both of her children, her daughter Kirby and her son Williams, have reached out to her about her cover. They said they both said separately to her that they thought the cover was really cool. They're very proud of her. And that's when Gayle said that she jokingly said that she wondered that what her ex-husband is saying. She said, "I'm going to send him a copy." King was married to attorney Bumpus from 1982 to 1993. They shared children Kirby and William. She previously accused her ex of cheating on her with a friend in 1990, leading to their eventual split. The Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue is on stands now. Right now, we got 20 minutes after the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the weekend edition of That's Entertainment. I'm your host, Tammy Joan Gibbs, where I try to bring you the latest in entertainment news, celebrity news, and pop culture. Again, if you are liking the show so far and you want to know when we broadcast live, make sure you click on the follow-up button on top of the show page. It will send you a reminder when I come on air. Also, make sure you follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/thatsentertainment.radio. You can follow us on X at thatsentertain1. You can follow me at X at stiletto14 and on Instagram at tjonesgibbs. The man who allegedly punched actor Steve Buscemi in the face last week has been arrested and charged with second-degree assault. The New York Police Department confirmed to People that 50-year-old Clifton Williams was arrested and charged around 2:20 p.m. local time on Friday, May 17, in Midtown Manhattan. The arrest comes days after Williams was identified as a suspect in the assault, which happened on May 8. And per the NYPD, the victim, since identified as Buscemi, was in the Kip Bay neighborhood around 11:50 a.m. when a previous unidentified individual struck him. He was then transported to the hospital in stable condition for a minor injury in his left eye. The actor was treated for bruising, swelling, and bleeding to his left eye at Bellevue Hospital. A publicist for Buscemi later confirmed to People that he was assaulted in Midtown Manhattan, calling him another victim of a random act of violence in the city. Buscemi was okay following the attack, according to his publicist, who added that he appreciated the well wishes sent by fans. He was also incredibly sad for everyone that this has happened to while also walking the streets of New York. And it is getting a little crazy out here in New York. Even I get a little nervous because there's these unprovoked random attacks of people who are just living and trying to survive in New York and trying to take care of their everyday lives, whether they be on the subway or just walking to the corner store or just if you're a tourist coming out of, Times Square or Midtown, and somebody just jumps in attacks you, slap you, hit you upside the head, stab you. So it's getting kind of scary out here. Actor Dabney Coleman, who's best known for his comedic role in 9 to 5, Tootsie, The Muppets Take Manhattan, and many other 1980s hit films, has passed away at the age of 92. Coleman died Thursday at his home in Santa Monica, his daughter told The Hollywood Reporter. Coleman was born in Austin, Texas in 1932. He attended the Virginia Military Academy and served in the U.S. Army before launching his acting career, first on Broadway and television and later on the silver screen. In the 1980 smash hit 9 to 5, Coleman played Franklin Hart Jr., the sexist bigot boss to Dolly Parton, Jane Fonda, and Lily Tomlin. The film grossed over $100 million and is widely viewed as one of the funniest films of its era. In 1987, Coleman won an Emmy for Outstanding Supporting Actor for his work on the ABC television movie Sworn to Silence. He was also nominated for playing the title role on TV's Buffalo Bill and the Slap Maxwell Story. Other starring and co-starring roles include War Games in 1983, Cloaks and Dagger, 1984, The Towering Inferno, 1974, and You Got Mail, 1998. Coleman received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 2014. He is survived by 4 children and 5 grandchildren. And David Sanborn, known for playing the saxophone on tracks with David Bowie, Stevie Wonder, and other iconic artists, has died at the age of 78. Sanborn died last Sunday in Tarrytown, New York, after a year-long battle with prostate cancer. Health issues forced him to cancel several scheduled shows earlier this month. Sanborn became known as a renowned session saxophonist and released some albums of his own. His credits include the 1972 Stevie Wonder track titled Tuesday Heartbreak, David Bowie's 1975 album Young Americans, and James Taylor's rendition of How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by You. Throughout his career, Sanborn received 6 Grammy Awards, 8 gold albums, and 1 platinum album. Yeah, he's definitely going to be missed, that's for sure. And for anybody who knows me, I love jazz very much, and he was one of my favorite jazz artists. Right now, we have here 26 minutes after the hour. Coming up, we're going to be talking about J-Lo and Ben Affleck. Apparently, there's some trouble in paradise. Apparently, they might be on the rocks for now, but they said they have no plans of jumping ship just yet. Also, Lainey Wilson and Chris Stapleton won the top honors at the 59th Annual ACM Awards. I'll also tell you who else won. One for the Best in Country Music this year. Also, Drake and Nicki Minaj are gunning for the top spot at the BET Awards, 2024 BET Awards. And Raina Simone's time with Disney is far from over. And Happy Gilmore is getting the sequel treatment from Netflix. All those stories and more coming up after the break, so don't you dare go anywhere.
Goodbye, my side.
Entertainment, your number one source for entertainment news and pop culture with me, your host, Tammy Jones Gibbs, right here on blogtalkradio.com. Right now we got 27 minutes left remaining left on the show. That was the latest from Jay Park. It's called You're My. May is Asian and Pacific Island Heritage Month, and throughout the month of May, I decided to play artists from Asian culture, and we try to get some Indian culture in there, but I don't know too many Indian artists, but that's Jay Park. Jay Park is a Korean-American, and he just went back to Korea where he's posting his new music. So that's a nice love song, love ballad from him. Before we went to the break, I was telling you about Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck. Apparently, there is some trouble in paradise. You know, the thing about, well, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez's marriage might be on the rocks, but the stars currently have no plans of jumping ship. This is according to an insider. The Oscar winner and Bronx actress musician are having issues in their marriage. That's what a source told Us Weekly, while a second insider noted the couple does not plan to separate. Lopez is said to be considering investing in a home she recently viewed in Los Angeles. And a third source had told Us Weekly that the stars who wed twice in the summer of 2022, nearly two decades after their first split, are working on their marriage. Now, on Thursday, the Gone Girl star was photographed leaving the Brentwood neighborhood of Los Angeles at a home which is not known to be shared with Lopez. Sources told TMZ that Affleck has been spending a good deal of time at the residence. Now, both Affleck and Lopez were photographed wearing their wedding rings on Thursday, which some have seen as their response to the split rumors. The two were last spotted together publicly during a March outing in New York City. Affleck then made a surprise appearance at Netflix Roast of Tom Brady, with Lopez flying solo at the Met Gala the next day. Affleck and Lopez were engaged in the early, a while ago, before going their separate ways and having their own families with Jennifer Garner and Mark Anthony, respectively. They ultimately reconciled in the spring of 2021. And Lainey Wilson and Chris Stapleton won the top
honors at the 59th Annual ACM Awards held in Fresno, Texas, and was hosted by Reba McEntire. Now, Wilson won Entertainment of the Year, Female Artist of the Year, and Event of the Year, the latter for Save Me, her duet with Jelly Roll. Stapleton took home Album of the Year, Male Entertainment of the Year, and Artist Songwriter of the Year. Now, both artists delivered powerful performances during the show. Other big winners include Megan Maroney and Nate Smith, the Female and Male Best New Artist, Jesse Joe Dillon, Best Songwriter, Old Dominion, Best Group, and Luke Combs won Single of the Year for his cover of Tracy Chapman's Fast Car, while Jordan Davis took Song of the Year for Next Thing You Know. So congratulations to all the winners and nominees for the 59th Annual American Country Music Awards. Drake and Nicki Minaj are gunning for the top spot as BET shares the nominees for the 2024 BET Awards. Drizzy leads the pack with 7 nominations, followed by Nicki Minaj's 6th nomination. J. Cole, Sexy Red, SZA, and Victoria Monet all tied with 5 nods each, while 21 Savage, Beyonce, Doja Cat, Megan Thee Stallion, Tyla, and Usher round out the top contenders with 4 noms each. In addition to the nominees, BET has revealed its first slate of performers for the culture's biggest night, which includes Monet and Sexy Red, as well as Glorilla, Money Long, Shambuzi, and Lotto. Voting for the Viewer's Choice Awards begins on June 6th and concludes on June 30th at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time and 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, the theme for the 2024 BET Awards is Standing on Culture and will be preceded by the 2024 BET Experience with performances by Cardi B, Davido, Gunna, Sexy Red, The Root, Common, Queen Latifah, Jungle Brothers, and more. Attendees will also get to enjoy experimental pop-ups like comedy shows and a roller skating rink curated by DJ Mustard. The 2024 BET Awards air live on BET on Sunday, June 30th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Raven Simone's time with Disney is far from over. Raven's Home, the spinoff to her hit sitcom, That's So Raven, has concluded with its 6th and final season in September of 2023. However, the veteran actress has inked a multi-year overall deal with Disney that includes a pilot green light for a Raven's Home spinoff titled Alice in the Palace. Now, the new series star Emmy winner Mikhail Michelle Harris as Alice, Raven Baxter's young cousin, who returns to England and reunites with Duchess Clementine, also played by Harris. Her royal doppelganger, Clementine, gets the chance to experience a normal life while Alice indulges in the finer things of life. Under Raven's new deal, she will get to produce, direct, and develop across linear and streaming with a focus on multi-cam comedies. There's no word on when Alice in the Palace will make its debut, but That's So Raven and Raven's Home are both streaming on Disney+. Happy Gilmore is getting the sequel treatment from Netflix, with original star Adam Sandler set to return. The streamer confirmed that the film during its upfront presentation to advertisers on Wednesday afternoon in New York. Now, Sandler stars in and co-wrote Universal Pictures' Happy Gilmore, which was directed by Dennis Dugan. The sports comedy remains one of Sandler's most popular films. He plays the Tyler Happy Gilmore, a hockey player with anger management issues who discovers he's also got a talent for golf. Happy joins the golf tour circuit to win money to save his grandmother's house and faces off against an arrogant pro named Shooter McGavin, played by Christopher McDonald. The supporting cast also include Julie Bowen and Carl Weathers. McDonald's first stirred up rumors of a sequel in March when he revealed that Sandler pulled out the first draft for the film during an unexpected run-in. Happy Gilmore made nearly $40 million at the worldwide box office in 1996, helping cement Sandler as one of the biggest comedy stars of the decade. And the movie Freddy Fazbear will return to haunt multiplexes in 2025. Universal and Blumhouse Five Nights at Freddy 2, a horror sequel set in the haunted Chuck E. Cheese-esque establishment known as Freddy Fazbear Pizza, will land in theaters on December 5th, 2025. Five Nights at Freddy's, adapted from the popular video game, made a killing at the box office last October with $297 million globally and became Blumhouse's highest-grossing film of all time, all while streaming simultaneously on Peacock. Now, Josh Hutcherson starred in the original as a nighttime security guard at Freddy Fazbear Pizza, where the animatronic mascots are prone to murder. The studio hasn't clarified who is returning for the follow-up, but it did share the new tagline, quote, anyone can survive five nights. This time there will be no second chances, unquote. Sigourney Weaver, the vulnerable star known for her role in monumental science fiction and fantasy franchises like Alien and Avatar, is in talks to join the Star Wars universe in the upcoming film, The Mandalorian and Grogu. Now, this marks an exhilarating addition to Weaver's illustrious career and promises to add a new layer of intrigue to the Star Wars saga. The Mandalorian and the Grogu is set to be the first Star Wars feature film to hit production since Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker in 2019, with Jon Favreau at the helm, who has already captivated audiences with the Disney Plus series The Mandalorian. Expectations are high, and Favreau, alongside Lucasfilm, Kathleen Kennedy, and Chief Creative Officer Dave Filoni, will produce the feature, which is eagerly anticipated to begin filming later this year. The film stems from The Mandalorian, a series that debuted in November of 2019 as Disney Plus flagship show. It quickly became a cultural phenomenon, largely due to the character initially known as Baby Yoda, later revealed as Grogu. Now, the series, now with three seasons under its belt and four written, has expanded the Star Wars universe in exciting new ways, leading into spinoffs like The Book of Boba Fett, and Ahsoka. Now, Weaver's potential casting in The Mandalorian and Grogu not only bridges iconic sci-fi and fantasy realms, but also signals an exciting era of storytelling under the Star Wars banner, eagerly awaited by fans and newcomers alike. And also, the MTV Movies and TV Awards, the staple in pop culture since 1992, has been put on hiatus this year. According to a spokesperson, the ceremony will return with a re-imaging format in 2025. The decision followed the show's recent hiatus during the COVID-19 pandemic and challenges in recent years. The show rating has declined in recent years, with two post-pandemic shows hosted by Leslie Jones and Nikki Glaser and Vanessa Hudgens and Tasia Adams, respectively. Despite being hosted by A-list stars like Eddie Murphy and Will Smith during its prime, the show has lost some allure. In 2023, the ceremony was derailed by the Writers Guild of America strike, resulting in host Drew Barrymore pulling out and a pre-recorded virtual ceremony without a host. Similarly, the 2023 MTV Europe Music Awards was canceled due to the Israel-Gaza conflict. The reason behind this year's hiatus are unclear, but potential factors include the impact of striking and the ongoing war in the Middle East. However, MTV has assured that the award show is not permanently canceled and will return in refreshed format next year. The MTV Movie and TV Awards has been a showcase for pop culture excellence, and the 2025 edition promised to be a re-imaging experience that reflects the evolving landscape of entertainment. Right now, we got 15 minutes left remaining in the show. I'm going to go ahead and take another music break, and I'll be back with the last remaining stories of the day, so don't go anywhere. That was the latest from Les Seraphim in Easy. May is Asian and Pacific Islander Heritage Month, and throughout this month of May, I'm playing some of my favorite Asian artists. And going back to the rest of the show, social media reaction to Will Smith and Martin Lawrence Bad Boy Ride or Die are in, and according to the hashtag, viewers are in for an exciting watch. On Wednesday, May 15, screening for the film began across the country. Vibe magazine attended the Los Angeles event, which was joined by the leading actors who share laughs and snacks with an audience of journalists, influencers, and industry professionals. Now, during the screening hosted by Kev on stage Frederick, Smith shared that the movie is also being previewed to audiences in his hometown of Philadelphia and the film setting of Miami. Additionally, Chicago, New York, and Atlanta are among the cities getting an early look. The Bad Boy team encouraged viewers to use the hashtag Bad Boys and share their first reactions to the film, and scrolling through social media reveals general enjoyment of the action flick. Bad Boys Ride or Die is due in theaters on June 7, 2024. Alongside Smith and Lawrence, the movie star Vanessa Hudgens, Alexander Ludwig, Piala Nunez, Eric Dang, Tiffany Haddish, and more. Some familiar faces also pop up in the thrilling journey. And IndieWire reports that a Jamie Foxx-produced Luther Vandross documentary, Never Too Much, has landed at CNN Films and OWN and is set for a 2025 release. The outlet reports that the two companies moved forward in acquiring the film after Never Too Much made a splash at this year's Sundance Film Festival. The film will be streamed on Max after premiering on television via CNN and OWN. The director of the Vandross film, Dawn Porter, spoke to the outlet about partnering with the two Network for Never Too Much, saying, quote, I'm thrilled to partner again with CNN Films and OWN to bring this film to audiences. Luther's music is timeless, his legacy is unsurpassed, and we can't wait for all of his fans, new and old, to experience his brilliance, unquote. Fox is involved in the project through his Foxhole Production Company, and along with Foxhole Production, Colin Firth, Rain Dog Films, in association with Trilogy Film, is also set to aid in the film production. Additionally, Sony Music Entertainment, Premium Content Division, and Sony Music Publishing are involved in creating the document. Luther Vandross won 8 Grammy Awards as a singer and released 14 studio albums, 13 of which achieved platinum or multi-plat status. The Velvet Voice would pass away in 2005 after suffering from complications of a stroke. He was 54 years old. Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo prove that some bonds form in the most unexpected way as they co-star in John M. Chu's Wicked in the trailer for the highly anticipated film adaptation of the Tony-winning musical. Grand plays Glilda, the Good Witch, while Erivo portrays Elphaba, the Wicked Witch of the West. Wicked follows Elphaba and Glinda's unlikely friendship before Dorothy arrives in Oz. It also stars Michelle Yeoh, Jonathan Bailey, Ethan Slater, Jeff Goldblum, and Bowen Yang. The teaser for the film first aired during Super Bowl 58 on February 11, and is based on a musical based on Gregory Maguire's 1995 book Wicked, The Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West. It adapted characters from L. Frank Baum's 1900 novel, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, which garnered acclaim in the 1939 Oscar-winning film, The Wizard of Oz. The first installment of the two-part film adaptation, Wicked, theaters on November 27. Its sequel, Wicked Part 2, is set to be released on November 26, 2025. Steven Tyler is on the mend and back to performing after fracturing his larynx last year. The Aerosmith frontman joined the legendary rock band The Black Crowes on stage for a surprise performance at London's Everton Apollo on Wednesday, May 15, his first since sustaining a vocal cord injury that forced his band to pause their Peace Out Farewell tour in 2023. Tyler and the band then closed out the show by tearing into a cover of the 1973 Aerosmith classic, Mama Can. The former looked rather lively as he performed, seemingly back in good health and ready to hit the road again following months of recovery. In May of 2023, Aerosmith confirmed rumors of a farewell tour by announcing Peace Out, an originally scheduled 40-city North American concert run celebrating their monumental career. By mid-September of 2023, a few weeks after Aerosmith tour kicked off in Philadelphia, the Rock and the Hard Place band revealed that Tyler had received doctor's orders not to sing for the next 30 days, which forced them to postpone a handful of scheduled shows that month in Detroit, Chicago, Washington, D.C., Toronto, Raleigh, North Carolina, and Cleveland to 2024. Shows for the Peace Out Tour have since been rescheduled, and in April, Aerosmith announced a new set of dates that will resume later this year and run until January of 2025. Andra Day, Hanson, L. King, The War and Treaty, and more stars are set to perform at this year's first-ever Grammy Hall of Fame Gala. Per a press release, the May 21st ceremony presented by City National Bank, which will take place at the Nova in downtown Los Angeles, will also feature performances from newly announced artists William Bell, plus others like Raven Lanae and Shinedown. The entire lineup will pay tribute to the 2024 Grammy Hall of Fame inducted recording, with Day performing a song from Lauryn Hill, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, Bell singing his song You Don't Miss Your Water, The War and Treaty performing Charlie Pride, Kiss on an Angel, Good Morning, King singing Wanda Jackson, Let's Have a Party, Hanson is going to perform The Doobie Brothers, What a Fool Believes, and Lene singing Roberta Flack's Killing Me Softly, and Shinedown taking on Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven. Other recordings being honored this year include De La Soul, 3 Feet High and Rising, Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction, and Buena Vista Social Club, Buena Vista Social Club Plus Records by Donna Summer, and Kid Ory, Criolla Orchestra. The gala, which includes a red carpet and VIP reception followed by a concert, will also salute iconic record label Atlantic Records, which already has over 38 recordings inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame for its 75th anniversary. This year, the Recording Academy and Grammy Museum decided to reinstate the Grammy Hall of Fame in time for its 50th anniversary following a two-year hiatus. It was first established by the Recording Academy National Trustees in 1973 to celebrate recordings of lasting qualitative or historical significance that are at least 25 years old. And that's according to the press release. That mission continues this year as 10 new recordings, 4 albums, and 6 singles are being inducted. Cher confirmed she'll be in attendance at the 2024 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this October. The pop icon, who's now 77, previously shared during a December episode of the Kelly Clarkson Show that she wouldn't be in it now if they gave her $1 million, affirming she was never going to change her mind. At the time, she added, they can just go you-know-what themselves. But in an interview with Entertainment Tonight on May 13th, she revealed she will take part in the October 19th ceremony after all. She explained that the reason she'll be attending are due in part to music producer David Geffen and chairman of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, John Sykes, who are her friends. She says she's going to have some words to say, and she's going to accept it in Cher, the only way Cher knows. The organization announced this year nominees on April 22nd. Those being honored also include Foreigner, Mariah Carey, Eric B. and Rakim, Jane's Addiction, Lenny Kravitz, Oasis, Sinead O'Connor, and Sade. Alongside Cher, 9 other nominees appeared on the ballot for the first time, including Carey, Kravitz, Osbourne, Sade, and the late O'Connor. The performer category will include Mary J. Blige, Cher, Dave Matthew Band, Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Kool & the Gang, Ozzy Osbourne, and A Tribe Called Quest. The 2024 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony will air live on October 19th from the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse in Cleveland. And some fans will never wait a little longer to see TLC. No, I'm sorry, they will have to wait a little bit longer. The iconic R&B group posted to social media on May 14th to reveal that Tiana T-Bob Watkins and other members of their touring band recently caught the flu, leading the Waterfall performers to reschedule their 4 Canadian tour dates. New dates will be announced at a later date for TLC show that was scheduled for May 14th in Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada, and May 16th in Windsor, Ontario, and May 18th in Peterborough, Ontario. Watkins and Thomas, May 17th concert in Niagara Falls was also postponed through a new date of October 3rd that has already been unveiled, and that's Niagara Falls, Canada, not New York. Now, TLC is currently set to return to the stage on June 15 in Lincoln, California, and they have several North American tour dates scheduled throughout the summer. Last month, the Unpretty vocalist earned a landmark award at the 2024 iHeartRadio Music Award in Los Angeles, and before accepting the honor, Watkins and Thomas delivered a nostalgic performance of their hit track No Scrubs and Waterfall, with Lotto joining on the latter track to rap the late Lisa Left Eye Lopez verse. The 4-time Grammy winner, who continues as a duo after Lopez's 2002 death in a car crash at the age of 30, has released 5 studio albums, and upon releasing the self-titled TLC as a duo in 2017, Thomas and Watkins told People at the time that the project would be their final record. And Ed Sheeran wants to inspire young musicians. The Grammy-winning superstar paid a surprise visit to the Fairlight Primary School in Brixton, UK on May 10th to perform for students, sit on their music lesson, and participate in a Q&A and donate 5 of his guitars. During the visit, organized with Creative Music, which works to provide art education to musicians of all ages, Sheeran delivered live renditions of his songs, including Shape of You, Perfect, and Bad Habits. Now, this isn't the first time Sharon spent time with young musicians. In July of 2023, he surprised the Boston Music Project youth group by performing alongside its young musicians at the Taubman Community Center in Massachusetts Capitol before headlining his own concert at the Gillette Stadium in Foxborough later that night. And also, rest in peace to Eminem Slim Shady. A fake obituary for the Marshall Mathers LP artist, Twisted Rap, Alter Ego, which has been a part of his career since the 1997 Slim Shady and 1999 the Slim Shady LP, appears in the Detroit Free Press on Monday, May 13, declaring him dead ahead of Eminem's 12th studio album, The Death of Slim Shady, Coup de Grace, dropping this summer. Now, the headline for the obituary reads, Slim Shady made lasting impression, while its subheading state, fans will never forget controversial rapper. The theatrical obituary rollout arrived just a few weeks after Eminem's new album announcement, which he unveiled on April 25th with an Instagram teaser that aired right before the 2024 NFL draft appearance in his hometown of Detroit. The project marks the 15-time Grammy winner's first full-length release since 2020, Music to Be Murdered By, which he dropped as a surprise that January. Well, that's going to do it for me for this week. Tune in next time when we do it all over again. You've been listening to That's Entertainment, the special weekend edition. I'm your host, Tammy Jones Gibbs. Have a great week. Stay safe, and I'll talk to you next time. Take care.